Okay, this is May 5th, and the topic is, what would it be like if...
Good evening.
Good evening.
As Andy told you, tonight's topic, and for the rest of the month, is going to be, what would it be like if... And the reason why we're doing this again is because this teaching teaches people how to think differently. You are here because you want to go through life differently than most people do. When I say that, you want to go through life perhaps better than your parents did. What we want to do in this life is see it in a different way. Your life is always going to boil down to what you believe. And that's what this whole teaching is always about. What actually do you believe? It's your belief system. It's going to be done onto you as you believe. So what is your perspective on everything? Remember, you're wearing lenses. And your lenses are those belief systems, those viewpoints, those opinions that you're carrying around. They're just like glasses. You put them on and off, and when you look through them, that is what you see. So we have to learn to change our perspective of ourselves and the world around us if we want our reality to change. You see, reality that you see now is a collective reality. It's a collective reality of the unconscious mind of man, or what we call race mind, or the official line of thinking that's going on. And if we want something to come into our life, we have to learn to think differently. The only way we can learn to think differently is to see what we really want in life and then go for that and hold that as a focus on what we want instead of being convinced by the world around us that what we see is real, what we are told is real. And all day long we're immersed in this thought atmosphere. This thought atmosphere that tells us this is the way things are. So how do we learn to do that? I heard twice today, in fact, wonderful things that people are learning. A student that came to my house told me that she was finally able to detach herself. And she now realizes that she's not her mind. And she could watch her mind go here, there, and everywhere and do things to her. You see. And that's what we have to realize, that we are not our minds. Our minds are thinking machines, and they're going to keep thinking. Coming in, I heard from another student this evening say that she's able now to see how her mind just keeps bringing things up to her. Your mind wants the wind. Your mind wants you to be right, and it wants to be right all the time. It wants to come up with a story that somebody's doing something bad to you, so that it can always get into some kind of trouble, so that it can fight, so that it can prove that you are less than. That is what this little tricky mind does to you all the time. Your mind never tells you what a wonderful human being you are. Your mind never tells you that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, or that you matter. Your mind tells you why you are not those things. I had another person tell me that they can get to the point with deserving. And when they get to the point of deserving, their mind says, well, no, you're not deserving because your house is dirty. You see. So you have to hear what is your mind bringing back to you when you say, I'm worthy, deserving, totally level, will I matter? What is your mind saying? Is it saying, yes, you're right? Or is it saying, no, you're not right because you didn't finish that chore. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. Once you get those things done, then you'll be worthy. Then you'll be deserving. You have to know that none of that counts. And this is when you have to hear what your mind is saying to you and realize that you are not your mind. That you are not your mind. Many sick people are sick because they think they have done something wrong and they don't deserve to be well. So they remain sick. You see. So you have to know that this thing that we call God never holds anything against you. Remember, the whole idea is God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. That would be an impossibility because you have to realize that you're one. This whole teaching is about learning that you're one with this thing that we call God. You say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. And we have to learn that till we can accept that. So that when we say, I'm a wonderful human being, your mind says, yes, you are. And it comes up with reasons why you're a wonderful human being, instead of saying, oh, now, wait a minute. Here are some faults that you have, you say. The mind always brings up the faults. It doesn't tell you the good things. So you have to go and make that list yourself. How many people are on an interview or something, and a person says, well, what have you done before? And you have to stop and think. Or could you do this job? And you go, no, but I can think of reasons why I couldn't. You see, you have to think of all the good things. So it's learning to train our minds to think what we want to think. That is what this teaching is about, is learning to think what you want to think and learning to feel what you want to feel. But we don't see that going on, and we think that that's an impossibility, and we think that we don't deserve to do that for ourselves. You have to realize that you are creating yourself every moment. And it doesn't matter what your past was. Anything that happened in the past is just that. Rose has a wonderful saying, what was, was. If she never goes back, what was, was. And that's what we have to realize. And we start out new every moment and every second. We don't drag all that old stuff with us. So you just can't do it. So if you want to create a new reality, you say to yourself, what would it be like if? What would it be like if I had everything I wanted? What would it be like? What would my life be like? And then how would I feel about this? But you see, we want so many things, but we don't live in that consciousness. We live in the consciousness that we're in. You cannot live in the consciousness you're in if you want to get somewhere. You have to live in the other consciousness. That is like in the 70s when they said, start to act as if. You have to act as if it were already so. And then you move into that consciousness. Months ago, years ago, whenever I said to you, when you do a treatment or you do an affirmation, as soon as the treatment or the affirmation is over, then you must live in that consciousness. You must live in that consciousness. If you make a statement, all my bills are paid on or before time, now you must live in that consciousness. So when a bill comes in, you must sit down and pay it. Take it directly to the mailbox. You must live in the consciousness. You see, people make the statement, then they don't do anything about it. They don't live in that consciousness. If you want to change, you have to start to live in the consciousness that you want to be in. I also had the affirmation, and I gave it to you, every day to say to yourself, I am successful and I feel successful. You have to know that you're successful and you have to start feeling successful. Oh, well, I couldn't do that. I'm not. Huh. You see, you know you're not. Well, if you know you're not, why don't you know that you are? You see, your mind can tell you why you're not successful. You don't have this. You don't have money in the bank account. You don't have this. You don't have a loving relationship. You don't have this. So therefore, I'm not successful. You have to train your mind, and you have to say, I am successful. And then your mind says, oh, that's absolutely right, because you've done this, 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 this. You have this, 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 and this. You see. You have to concentrate on what you have, not on what you don't have. And what the mind concentrates on is what it doesn't have. And it keeps telling you that you don't have that. You don't have that. You don't have that. If you start to concentrate on the things that you want and know that you already have them, you will have them. You will have them. That's the way this teaching works. It's called metaphysics. It works that way. We are always taking something from the unseen and bringing it into the seen. And you have to know that it's already done in mind, that everything that you can think about is already done for you. Now you must bring it into your reality. But you cannot bring it into your reality if you're living in the other reality where you don't have. In the reality where you don't think that you're enough, you don't do enough, and you don't have enough. That's not the way to do it, you see. Terry Cole Wiftaker wrote a book years ago, and it was called How to Have More in a Have-Not World. Because we live in a have-not world. Remember, the world isn't going to tell you that you have anything. The world is not your friend out there. Now, when I say the world, I'm talking about this thing that we call race mind. And we happen to live in that atmosphere of race mind people. You see, we can recognize it sometimes, but you have to know that you're always living in it. Unless you'll be evolved in your consciousness to a very high level, you are going to be living in race mind, and you're going to be affected all the time by this thing that we call race mind, which tells you that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And I want to tell you, since day one, people have said the world is going to hell in a handbasket. It hasn't changed, and that's not going to change. But you can change, and you can learn to see things and think differently. So it's always going to start with what? That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. So with that, let's do the matter dance.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yay. So if you want to go through life differently, and you want something new to come into your life, you have to start with that premise every day of your life. I also mentioned a thing. Yes, we call this metaphysics. And yes, I'm a religious science minister, or science of mind, whatever you want to call it. But that does not mean that we are here just to hear about God. It does not mean in this class, you want to hear about God, don't go to church. It's quite all right. You see, my whole philosophy is God doesn't need any of that. You see, God is beyond all that. God doesn't need to be worshipped and so forth. But we love to make a church and we love to go worship God. Now, we should be worshipping ourselves. And we should be doing something good for ourselves. You see, we want to know that God's good. Well, that's quite all right. I'm delighted that God's good. But am I good? Are you good? You say, remember, God may be mighty, which is absolutely true, but is God useful? If you can't use God and take this power that we call God and make it into something in your life, then what is the sense of having God? What is the sense of lighting candles, incense? I think all that stuff is absolutely wonderful. I love all that. I love stained glass windows. I love the music. But if it's not doing anything for you, then there's something wrong with the teaching. This is a practical teaching to teach you to learn to love yourself, to teach you that this is a wonderful world that you live in, that this experience that you're having called your life is a wonderful experience. And yes, you're going to have difficulties come into your life, but you have to know that you are here to rise above all. To rise above all of those. I very seldom recommend a movie. The last movie that I recommended was The Peaceful Warrior, which I thought was absolutely wonderful. There is now another movie out there. It's a documentary. And for everyone, it's going to be fabulous if you go to see it. But for actors, it is an absolutely terrific movie, and it's called Hats Off. And it's about a 90-year-old woman who happens to be an actress in New York and is still getting jobs up one side and down the other. And still going strong, still dancing, still going to the gym every day, still walking, going by bus to all her auditions. And she said, if I have to stand in line 3 hours, I stand in line 3 hours. And she said, then I have to walk up the steps to the audition hall. But she does it. But go see the movie. It's very life-affirming. And the one thing that there's tons of messages in the movie. And it's a nice movie, well put together, very well edited. not boring at all. But the one thing that she has, and you'll see a sign of it also, is you must rise above all of this. You must rise above all of this. And I thought, of course, of somebody in the classroom here. You must learn to rise above it. Last week I made the statement, don't be so earthbound. You see, the problem is that you people, and myself included, we're earthbound. We think that this is the only existence that there is. And when you're earthbound, it's very heavy. And when you're earthbound, you start to believe race mind and so forth. And you start to believe all your problems, and you start to believe all this stuff. You must learn to rise above these things. Rise above them and look down on them, you see. There's a wonderful story years ago about a visitor coming to New York. And I thought, oh, how could we show a visitor in New York? Because if they see this neighborhood, if they see that neighborhood, they'll see the dirt, they'll see all of this. They won't see what a magnificent city this is. So how did they do it? They took him to the top of the Empire State Building, which at that time was the tallest building, by the way, is again in New York, and looked out over the city. You see, when you rise above things, you can look down and see the wonders. But when you get down in the mess, you don't see it. So you must learn to rise above things in this life and look down at them and say, oh, I see that. With your problems, if you think it's a problem, rise above it and say, wonder what I could do about this. And you'll see that it looks completely different when you can rise above things. You can see all the little pieces fitting together. And then it doesn't become such a big problem. But when you're down in the mess and you get involved with the problem, then you get stuck in that problem, you see. Which is the next thing that we happen to do. We get stuck in our problems instead of in the solution. Instead of saying, oh, I have a problem. If you have a problem, you have to have a solution. Always. There always is going to be the opposite of anything in your life. And you're always going to have what? A choice of which one you're going to concentrate on. The people concentrate on the problem. When you concentrate and put your attention and your focus on anything, it grows people. It's just like watering a plant and giving it fertilizer. It grows. If you withdraw your attention from your problem and go to the solution, you will find the solution. But you have to realize that you can't have a problem without a solution. You can't have a problem without a solution. That's one of the many marvelous things about the universe, and that's a wonderful little equation that you can always remember. If you have this, you have to have that. There's always going to be the opposite. There's always going to be the dichotomy. And you have to choose which one of those. Now, the other thing that you have to realize when I say there's always the opposite, there's this and there's that. But you have to remember that it's all one. Otherwise, you let yourself get into what's called separation. And when you get into separation, you cannot make a demonstration. You see, you have to know that God is the source and the supply of everything, that God is all there is. So God is in that problem, and God is in that solution. Now, which one are you going to look at? You see, you have to learn to do that. But this little mind of ours, this little mind that won't tell us that we're wonderful, that won't tell us that we're whole, complete, and perfect, wants to tell you that that's a very big thing, that problem. And it wants to tell you that you have to figure that out on your own. And this is what human beings do. And human beings have always done this since day one. Now, if you want to change your life, you have to get rid of that belief system. And you have to realize that you don't have to solve that problem, that you can ask this thing called God to solve that problem for you. You've often heard me say, I can't figure out a lot of things. I just say to myself, I have no idea how this is done, but I know you do, so you do it for me. and I let God do it for me. And I don't get all upset and think, well, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, my mind must not be functioning correctly, and this, that, and the other thing. I say, thank goodness. Now I have time to do what I want to do. I don't have to concentrate on that. I know it's being taken care of. Because you see, in my universe, the universe I live in, I'm here to have fun. I'm here to have fun. Remember? Fun and entertainment committee. Ways and means. So I take care of my committee. You see, I don't go to the other committee and say, let them do their part. How many people are at work and everyone wants to nose into the other person's committee and wants to do somebody else's work, or they're not doing their work, and, you know. You see, because human beings do that, and when we live in race mind, we do that. We can't let something alone. Oh, well, that's not your business. That's not your committee. Oh, I think I'll nose in there anyway. See, I never nose into God's business. You know, why would I want to nose into his business or its business or whatever you want to call it? I know perfectly well that God is capable of handling that. So then I go out and have fun. I go out and have fun with that. Learn to use God. If you're in any type of teaching, if you're in any type of church, and you're not using God, there's something wrong with the church. There's something wrong with the teaching. That's what this teaching is about, to teach you that there's a higher power. And that higher power, which you are one with, knows how to do it for you. Knows how to do it for you. Now, so many people are upset because, am I doing this correctly? Am I doing my life correctly? Have I made the right choices? Maybe I should have married that person. Maybe I should have taken that job. Maybe I should have. You must stop all that nonsense. And you must come from the premise, I am always divinely guided. I always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. And you go on about your life. We waste entirely too much time thinking that we made the wrong choice. Too much time. You have to know that you made the right choice. And even when it doesn't look like it's the right choice, you have to affirm that it is the right choice. And that there's such a thing called divine reasoning, which you don't understand, and that it is putting your life together for you. So you look at your life as a jigsaw puzzle, and there are all these pieces out there in this jigsaw puzzle. And you have to put this together, and you have no idea how to put it together. And how many people have worked a jigsaw puzzle, and you will sit there and you will swear, oh, they made a mistake. They put a piece in here that doesn't belong in this puzzle. It got into this box, it's a factory wrong, and it doesn't belong to this jigsaw puzzle. And you go on and on, but you keep going, and all of a sudden that piece fits. But you see, we do that all the time. Instead of turning this over and realizing that all the pieces of your life are in pieces because they're coming together, and that this thing called God doesn't give you a piece that doesn't fit, and that your life is coming together and all these pieces are going to fit. You see, you have to know that your life is in divine right order, and that all these things that are in your life, which you look at differently, and think, oh, that piece doesn't fit. What is that piece there? You have to know that it's there for a reason. And it's going to fit in to that puzzle of your life. You may not be able to see that right now, but you have to do that. So once you're unable to do that, you can sit back and realize, huh, something wonderful is happening here. You say, I am being guided. Things are happening for a reason. And you can take the pressure off yourself to think that you're always doing something wrong. I know people who have gone through their whole life thinking that they've done everything wrong. Now, why would you want to live a life like that? Why would you want to do that? Not necessary. So, answer the questions for yourself. What would my life be like if? What would it be like if? How would I feel if I had exactly what I need? And then go for that feeling. Go for that idea. And move into that consciousness or into that other reality. You see, if you're going to live in this reality, that is where you are going to stay, in this reality. You see. You've often heard me say, people come up to me and they say, oh, this, that, 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 that. This is horrible, that's horrible, this won't work, that won't work. And I just look at them and say, huh, well, thank goodness I don't live in your universe. You let them live in that universe. Let them live in that universe. You don't have to live there. So it's going to be done with your perspective. It's going to be done with your belief system, not my belief system. You see? So you don't have to believe in God. You have to believe in yourself. Once you start to believe in yourself, believing in God will take care of itself. But in the meantime, God is not angry with you. God is always holding you in the highest of esteem. And God will always believe in you. And you cannot do anything, anything, that can separate you from this thing that we call God. Or from this cosmic power. Cosmic power is never shut off. It's constantly flowing through you. It's constantly flowing through you. Right here. It's coming right through you all the time. And you have to know that. So if you want to change your reality, then you have to see yourself differently too, don't you? What did I say a couple weeks ago? You have to start seeing yourself as little points of light or photons. And you're put together with all these little points of light, and all these little points of light have information. So what you really are points of light with information. Now, once you know that you're points of light with information, you can take that further in your thinking and realize, it's just a little point of light, and I can influence that. You see, we know now that we can influence things, do we not, through quantum physics. And when we look at something and observe something, especially on that tiny subatomic scale, we can change it. So if you know that you have 70 trillion of these little lights going on and off through you, which are making you up, you say, which is what makes you up, then you can start to change and you can start to see yourself differently. Then if you knew that you're just points of light and information and you're not really solid, now you have to realize that this thing that we call cosmic energy has to be flowing in and out through you all the time. It has to be coming in and out through you. The same way right here as we're sitting, all the radio waves that are being bombarded through the air, they're passing through us right now. We just don't have a receiver to hear them, but they're going through us. There's tons of information coming and going all the time through us. So we have to know that. So if you know that, then you say, and I'm connected to this. Somehow I'm connected to all of this. And then we say, I'm living, moving, and having my being in this thing called God. Or I'm living, moving, and having my being in this thing called mind. So now, all the information that ever was or ever will be has to be contained in this mind. And since I'm some part of that, I ought to be able to access that mind. I ought to be able to access that information. And then you start to ask for that information. You see? And you start to ask for it with some new question. You see, we say that where we are because what do? We keep asking the same question. What's one of the questions everyone constantly asks themselves? So it's absolutely nauseating. Who am I? What am I?
What's the meaning of life?
What's the meaning of life? Now listen, give those things up. You should know who you are. You see, there's only one thing you can be. Do I hear anybody? Does anyone know what the
Zohar is? Individualized expression of God.
You can only be an individualized expression of God. If God is all there is, you have to be an individualized expression of God. So now, the secret of life, now you know who you are. So don't ask that question anymore. If you keep asking that same question, you're going to drive yourself and me crazy. So just make up your mind. I know who I am. I know who I am now. I say, when people say, who are you? I say, I'm an emissary of light and love. I'm an emissary of light and love. Sent to this plan of action. You say. Or, what are you doing? Well, I'm about my father's business. You say, what am I doing? I'm about my father's business. But I don't know what I'm doing. Well, you certainly do know what you're doing. If you know that you're about your father's business, then anything you do, you're going to bring what? You're going to bring love to it. You see? It doesn't matter if you're washing dishes or a nuclear scientist or what you are. You're always going to be about your father's business. You see? And then you love where you are and you love doing that. Instead of saying, oh, I couldn't do that. That's a menial job. Oh, I couldn't do that. I got, you know. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter what you're doing. As long as you know you're about your father's business. Everyone's looking for their right and perfect place. You have to know I'm in my right and perfect place right here and right now. Wherever you are, it has to be the right and perfect place. You can't be any place else. Can you? If you're here now, you can't be at home, can you? But what do? We can't be in two places at one time. We can't be in two places at one time. But what do? Instead of staying in the moment and staying in this room, somebody is off thinking, oh, when I get home, I'm going to watch this. I wonder what tomorrow I'm going to do tomorrow. Now, your body's here, but you're off someplace else. You're off someplace else. Now, when you're off someplace else, what have you just done? You missed your life. Life only happens in the moment, people. Only happens in the moment.
4017
I'll be right there. And as soon as you go someplace else, you're not in the moment anymore. You're not in the moment. Now, if you learn to stay in the moment, you will always know that you're whole, complete, and perfect, that you're worthy, deserving, totally level one, that you matter. If you stay in the moment. But if you move out of the moment, now the mind starts to do all kinds of crazies to you. You see, life is lived moment by moment. And you can do that moment by moment. Many people want to stop an addiction. And they want to, say, give up cigarettes. And they say, I'm giving up cigarettes. And your mind says, oh, no, you're not. But if you say, I'm choosing in this moment to give up cigarettes, your mind will say, oh, for a moment, you can do it. For a moment, you can do it. Then you just add moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. And it's gone. So for one moment, you can say to yourself, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. And your mind will say, okay, for one moment, I'll let you do that. Now you move to the next moment. So you have to learn how to out-trick your own mind. Your mind will not accept it. If you say, I'm giving up cigarettes forever, The word forever scares the bejesus out of your mind. It says, oh, no, you're not either. But you see, it can accept a moment. It can accept a moment. So learn to live in the moment and learn to live your life just one moment at a time. Learn to like yourself for just one moment at a time. So, if your bank account is not up to snuff at this moment, you can still say to yourself, in this moment, I'm rich. In this moment, I'm rich. And you move it to the next moment, you see. But your mind says, oh, but what about tomorrow, you see? What about next week? What about when I turn 65, I'm not going to have enough money to retire? You're 20 years old, for goodness sake. Don't do that to yourself. I don't care if you're one day into becoming 65. You see, the whole idea is that you're always given this moment and you're always given your daily bread. But you want to know there's a storehouse someplace that it thinks it's gone. All you have to do is be happy in the moment. But you want to be happy for the next 10 years. And your mind says, I don't think you're going to be happy. 10 years, that's a long time. I'm not going to let you be happy for 10 years. But you can be happy for one moment. So if you put enough moments together, 10 years goes by, and my goodness, you were happy for those 10 years. The mind is always going to tell you that you're not enough, you don't have enough, and you don't do enough. And that there's not enough to go around. And it's going to tell you happiness is a fleeting thing, you see. And I'm here to tell you that you're able to be happy every moment of every day for the rest of your life, even if you have these problems and so forth, because that's a choice that you're making. But the world wants to tell you that you can't be happy all the time. And how many people have heard that as children? Well, you can't expect to be happy all the time. You have to start to say, I can be happy all the time. And then you will start to be happy all the time. But you just move it a little at a time. A little at a time. So many people want, when I say make a shift in consciousness, make this that, and the other, they think that it must be this great big dramatic thing. No, a shift in consciousness is a wee little crack. That's all you need to shift something. You don't need a great big gap to shift something. But your mind says, oh no, that wasn't enough. I have to be really big. No, just one little crack will let the light in. One little crack will let the light in. That's all you have to do. You allow your mind to tell you that everything must be gigantic, must be hard, must be difficult. And that's not true. That's not true. One little crack, and it will do it for you. You see. Just change your mind about yourself. One little bit. One little thing at a time. One little thing at a time. And it will happen for you. It will work for you. You see. Try all these things. Try all these little things. Don't live, unless you're very happy, unless you don't want to improve, unless you think you have everything and so forth, then certainly don't change. But I'm assuming that you come to these classes, you're coming to these classes because you want to know something different. And you want to know how to go through life differently. And you want to be happy and content with life. You want to feel fulfilled in life. And that's what this teaching can do. But you have to give up the old in order to do it. and not be convinced of what the world is telling you all the time. The world is not your friend. Give that idea up that all those people out there and all those authorities know anything. There's a wonderful book about experts. And do you know that there's no expert that ever hits it even 50% of the time with any of the things that they say? They don't even get it 50% of the time. But we say, oh, they're an expert, they must know what they're talking about. And you believe that. So you must become your own expert. You must get that knowledge from the big mind and become your own expert and rely on your own self. Become your own authority instead of allowing other people to tell you what things are all about. And if you want to find out this whole thing, if you're coming here or going to church or anything to find out information about God, don't get it second-handed. You see, if you take on the doctrines of any religion, you're getting all that information secondhand from somebody else who made it up. Why don't you learn to do it yourself? You see, and find out. You see, going to church won't give you an idea who God is. It'll give you somebody else's idea who God is. Get your own idea who God is and learn to see God and learn to experiment for yourself and have an experience of God that's an experience for you instead of somebody else's experience and telling the story of their life. Tell the story of your own life. This cosmic energy, this thing we call God, is there for everyone. And if we do, and we know that we're individualized expressions of this one thing, this thing called God, then you have to know God individually. You see, the God I know has to be different from the God you people know. And I can tell you all the little experiences that I have and so forth, but they won't mean a hill of beans unless you have your own experience. But if you use this teaching and you listen, you can learn to know your God and then know yourself. And I would put it this way. Learn to know yourself. Learn to see the power that's in you. Learn to appreciate yourself. And then you will start to appreciate God. It's not going to work vice versa. You see. You can love God all you want. But if you don't love yourself, what good is it? What good is it? You know. It may keep you smiling through. And we know a lot of them. I know a lot of Christians. They smile. All the time. They smile through the whole thing. They're miserable. They're miserable. But they smile. You want to smile inwardly from yourself, and because you love yourself, because you love life, because you love your life, you want that to come up through you and smile because of that. You see. And I'll tell you, my God wants you to do that. Now you have to figure out if your God wants you to do that. You see, I know what my God wants me to do. Do you know what your God wants you to do? So make God personal. Bring God into your life. Or this power. Remember, God doesn't care. You can call it the cosmic power. You can call it Henry, George, or Harry. You can call God anything you want. But you have to bring it up through you and individualize it through you, so that you feel good about yourself. See? And people are waiting to find God someplace else. See? You have to find God in you. You have to find that power in you. and then let that power come out. If everybody has it, don't ever think that they don't. Remember, God is not your favorites. And what anyone can do, everyone can do. Does anyone know why that is so? Because we're all one. And what's known in one point of mind must be known in all points of mind. You see? So you can know it. Just ask for it, but feel it. This whole thing is done with feeling, people. Yes, we use our thought. We use our thought to focus. And we use our thought to keep attention on something. But if you want to manifest something in your life, it's done with feelings. You see. So you say to yourself, what if I felt this way? What if I had all the money I really wanted? How would I feel? What would it feel like? If I were successful, how would it feel? How would I feel? How would I live my life? And then you move into that consciousness and you hold that onto what manifests in your life. To what manifests in your life. I think I said last week this thing is called religious science. And it's, the word science means that you can prove something over and over and over and over again. If I do it, Andy does it, whoever does it, it has to come out the same way. The results have to come out the same way. That's called the scientific method. So, religious science, meaning that you can take this thing called God, this cosmic power, and you can change it into something, you see. Now, I love to make this statement. This thing called God is the only thing I know that loves me and loves you that much that it will become anything you want it to become. Do you know anything else that can do that? That's willing to do that? Try in a relationship to change somebody. But this thing called God loves you that much that you can change it into anything that you want. Because if you want success, God will change into success. If you want money, God will change into money. God will change into your career. God will change into anything that you want. So, what if everything worked in your life? How would it be? You see? Those are the questions you want to ask yourself so that you can change this whole reality that you're living in, you see. The reality that you're living in because of your thinking. So you thought yourself into that reality, and the only way you can do is think yourself and feel yourself out of that reality. But you look out and you say, ah, that's real. I can't do anything about that. It's a movie you're watching. And you put the tape in your head. You put the film in your head. If you don't like the movie you're watching, you take that film out, people. And you put a new film in. And then you start to watch the light that you want. The reality that you want. Okay. I have some cards. Pick a card. This is a wonderful thing with your thinking and so forth. And when you have a belief system, you ask yourself, how many degrees of freedom does what I am doing and thinking afford to me? How many degrees of freedom is your thinking allowing you? You see, you have to be able to think past the box that you put yourself in. You have to be able to choose. See, we're the ones who lock ourselves into a prison all the time, the prison of our own making. And Rhoda's favorite saying is from Rumi, which is, why are you in prison when the doors are wide open? We are the ones who put ourselves into prison with our thinking, with our concepts, and with our conclusions. Please do not come to a conclusion. When you come to a conclusion, you stop all thinking, because now you know. And we don't know. Never know. Your perceptions will control your reality. Your perceptions will always control your reality. Oh, yes, I said this before. Countless energetic forces pass through our bodies and energy fields at every moment of our lives. Know that this cosmic energy is passing through you. So why it's passing through you, why don't you ask it to do something? Instead of getting a free ride through you. You say, hey, you can do that. If all this information is going through and all this energy is going through you, and I love this one. People, oh, I'm so tired. How the hell can you be tired? There's all this energy running through you all the time. So you say to yourself, ha ha, cosmic energy is coursing through me right here and right now. Every cell in my body is being energized. Instead of just letting it get a free ride through you, use it. If you look through the eyes of anyone's belief system, you will only see the things that their perceptual filters allow you. You see, that's that whole idea. Remember from years ago, my father always said that don't criticize until you're able to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. See, we criticize people all the time. How could they do that? How could, that's the belief. This is the belief beast. When I put these on, oh, that's the belief I'm seeing. You don't have them. You say, so you can't see what I'm doing. It's done with your belief system. So think of that. What glasses am I putting on today? What film am I putting into my head? You say, what tape is running? And then learn to change it. What am I not thinking or realizing that if perceived would alter my perspective to the benefits of all concerned? What am I not thinking or realizing? So if you have a problem, if you have anything, sit down and say, what am I not thinking or realizing? And then what are you going to do if you can't figure that out? Ways and means. Ways and means has to take care of it for you. There's a wonderful saying. When you are hungry enough, a loaf of bread will appear. This goes along with it. Our need or desire acts as a force of attraction, which programs our awareness to seek out experiences or information. Our need or desire acts, you see. How many times have you needed something or desired something that came into your life? You have to realize that those two things are very powerful. It's like attention. It's like intention. You see? You have to know that that's part of this thing that we call the law of attraction, which we call the secret, which is no secret at all. But you have to know that. So if you desire something and hold that desire long enough, it has to. See, the mind goes out and collects things all the time. I told you the whole idea of my pigeons that I send out all the time. Years ago, I told you that story. When I want something, regardless of what it is, a car, furniture, whatever,
I never go around looking for those things. I sit down very calmly and I say, this is exactly what I want. Then I visualize my pigeons here in my head flying out. And they fly all over.
Oh,
they find what I want. They come back home. Now, I'm out and about, driving or walking. And something says, go in that store. Go around. Go there. Oh, I don't want to do that. Go there. I don't, I've never been there. It looks awful. I'm not going. Go in there. I go in there, and lo and behold, what I'm looking for is there. What I'm looking for is there. This is how you use this power. This is how you use this thing called God. Why is that possible? Because nothing can be lost in the mind of God. God has to know where everything is. Right back to if something gets lost. If you think something's lost, give that idea. Nothing can be lost in the mind of God. What is yours by right? Excuse me. What is yours by right of consciousness must be returned to you. So I never worry about theft and so forth, because no one can take something from me. It's mine. It's mine. I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and these stories about that. And I used to forget. I always carry my wallet in this pocket or back here. But sometimes I hate to carry a wallet, especially when in a car. I always lay it on the seat. I just hate anything in my pockets. And I go home and go to bed, and I get up in the morning and think, oh, no, where is that wallet? Oh, it's down in the car. Now you know I don't lock the car. And I go down. And I lived on Piedmont Park, which at that time wasn't the best neighborhood. Robberies all the time. I'd always go down. My wallet was always on the front seat of my car where I left it. With the money and everything in it. Because it's mine by right of consciousness. And when I know it's mine by right of consciousness, I do not fear that somebody is going to take it. But if you have fear, lock your car. Fear will draw things to you faster than anything in the world. Now, if I'm out and about with people and they say, oh, aren't you afraid that you didn't lock your car? I lock my car. Why? Because their fear will draw it to me also. Fear is very powerful. Oh, and this is the wonderful one. There is evidence to suggest that the unconscious mind serves as the receiver and our electromagnetic field functions as the antenna. So your mind is a receiver. And this electromagnetic field, which is all around you, is acting as the antenna that brings things to you. Now, what do we say about that? We say, I am a magnet. I am a money magnet. Money is attracted to me. I am a love magnet. I am a love machine. Love is attracted to me. You see? You have to think this way. And you know that there's an electromagnetic field around all of us. We can feel that. We can use it as an aura. We can do all kinds of things with it. I have a dear friend, Joyce Reynolds, who does a thing which is very similar to Reiki, which uses energy, by the way, but she does a thing called Rohan. And Rohan is the whole idea of massaging and changing your etheric body. She did it to me one day. Oh, magnificent. It was just, oh, you might as well have a body massage. She could change all the energy around me. Fabulous. That's why I know all this stuff works, people.
I go out and practice. I go out and see. I look up every kook I can think of and see what they're doing. You know, I was never afraid of kooks. You learn a great deal from them. And you certainly separate the ones who don't know from the ones who do. But know also that you only attract good kooks into your life. You see, I don't go out to look for scams. I go out to look for knowledge. And I find what I'm looking for. You'll always find what you're looking for. So learn to look for what you want. Learn to look for what you want. You can have it. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.